What is your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
One in the books, two to go, and we're rolling along with a lot of spirited conversation. And again, and this happens more when Barry's in the studio, we don't hate each other, but we choose to take different sides sometimes and speak our minds on our perspectives. That's what we want you to do as well. That's what makes the show fun and entertaining. So don't think that we are at each other's throats just because I could kick Travis's ass right now in this studio, but I choose not to.
That sounds sweet.
We just, all we do is we debate. And you're welcome to join in on the debate. We're in the living room. We're debating. And you're welcome to pull up a chair. So before the break, we were talking about, you said as long you'd be happy with getting in every year and losing.
Yeah.
And I understand your argument that it's better than losing and not getting in at all. But my perspective is, and you go back to whether it's a psychologist or, you know, medical profession when you talk about it, when you do something once and you slip up, it's a mistake. When you do something and the behavior is repeated over and over again, it becomes a problem. It's a problem to me because there's no progress being made. There are people in places that are solely responsible for making this team better and giving them resources to get better and improve every year. And they're not improving. They're not getting better. And the main issue, because it is the most scrutinized position on the field, has been one that you have been calculated, you have been careful, you have been, shall I say, guarded and very worried about making the wrong decision until you figured you had the right guy. You were so sold that you had the right guy that you pulled the trigger and you got the guy.
And you gave him a bunch of money.
And you gave him a boatload of money, including 2 years guaranteed. And all of a sudden, for whether you say there wasn't a big enough sample size or for whatever the reasons are, he doesn't seem to be the guy. Okay, so to your point too, maybe he's just not that good. I can accept that, but the fan base can't, because you're going to have to accept it for another year, because that's just dead money.
It is, but I mean, he might get he could possibly get better. Like I'm not, here's the thing, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I would love for 17. I would love for Brock Osweiler to play like the 17 on the other side of the field from this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I think the fans would have loved that. I think, but at the same time, you got to look at it and say, you know, I hate when fans sit there. Oh, he's not trying hard. He's not doing this.
I'm not saying he's not trying hard, but I'm saying, you and I talked about this too, it's not all on him.
No,
when,
it's
when
not.
They're not on the same page on option routes and such. But overall, if it's, you mentioned his mechanics, if it's a mechanics issue,
well, I mean, I question his mechanics just because when I saw the ball sail, I said it might be a mechanical issue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the ball, you know, going downwards, I mean, with downward spiral, it might be a mechanical issue. You know, once it's me speaking on the outside looking in, you know, it'd be different if I was able to look at film for play after play after play, look at the 22 cut up and say, this is what's going on. And once again, I think that's what factors all in, is you don't know who's calling the shots. You don't know what are they telling him. And that's another thing, as far as a player, the reason why you're not knocking on his locker saying, what's up, man? Cause you in there every day. So you either want to
see their body language, they're getting tired of it. The picks, you can see it. The guys are like, even on some of the plays where they're grossly underthrown or overthrown, Hopkins, it's not just Hopkins anymore, and other guys are going like, what the heck was that?
I think all the guys are going to be tired of, because once again, yes, he's one of them and he's in the locker room, but he's still not one of them. He wasn't, like, that's one thing about Green Bay. All your guys are drafted there most of the time. The guys are not homegrown as far from Wisconsin.
Handpicked.
But they're handpicked. They're their guys.
Uh-huh.
So they manage to take care of their guys a little bit different. They manage to give each other a little bit more room as far as when something goes wrong, because you feel like this guy was just a pup when he came in this league with us. We all came to this league together, so we're going to sit there. We're going to help each other out. We're going to get better together. We're going to get worse together. And I think that's the biggest issue when you see guys. Guys know he came in from somewhere else. DeAndre Hopkins wants $72 million. He wants that money for himself. You know, when you look at a lot of stuff, a lot of other guys.
But here's what I'm saying. When you go back to the perspective of a player in that locker room, and you're saying, you know, you'd rather win than lose. I get that, right? But if you're a player that knows you're only going to have a certain window, and a lot of players never even sniff the big game. But when you look at the rest of the locker room and go, we got enough talent that we should be progressing, and we should, while we have this window before it closes, but we should be getting closer to a Super Bowl, and you're not.
Do they have enough talent?
I think overall, at
I don't think so.
I think at the start of the season when they were healthy, they had enough talent as long as the quarterback was a game manager that could keep everything moving. I think their defense was good enough, assuming J.J. doesn't get hurt. That's a big assumption, obviously. But I think that with some of the additions they made, how Simon was coming along, the advance, how Merciless was making improvements every year, how Clowney seems to have finally found a niche and he stayed healthy. But I think overall, they had a team that could make progress from where they were in the last couple of years, I thought for sure.
I thought from the beginning of the year is that they were a 7-9 team.
And you and I debated the record. I was with you on that. I was honest.
And if you're 8-8, 7-9 team, you're not talented enough to make it to the Super Bowl.
But at the same time, when you got the quarterback, the fan base all thought that was the missing piece. Now the fan base is all up in arms.
The fan base did. You listen to all the experts. You listen to I'm not even an expert, but you listen to what I was saying was the only people sold on him was the Texans.
Yep. Don't sell yourself short. You're an expert. James and Humble, you want to get in on this conversation about Brock Osweiler? Welcome to the show.
Okay, welcome to you too. I just have a couple of things to say about it far as the coaching standpoint. I'm not going to say he doesn't give his 100%. I never question a man's heart. But if I was the coach of that team, you have to make a decision. And you have to make a decision before the season is done, before it's too late. And my decision would be right now, he needs to start Savage. It is what it is. Whether you pay $72 million, whether you pay $2 million, he needs to make a decision. And I and just live with the decision. I think it might be a mechanical issue, but maybe he needs to learn from the bench because right now he ain't getting it done.
James, appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Trav, I know you want to chime in on that. The one thing that I would say is, I'm not saying it's for the rest of the year,
yeah.
But I would say it's not getting through. Whatever you have tried to this point is not working. Maybe it's that sudden wake-up call and that blast to your ego that says whether you do it to start a game or you do it after a couple series and you just say, okay, Tom Savage, go get him.
I disagree. I mean, you can't put $72 million on the bench. Because end of the day,
short period, just to bench him, just to say, hey man, we've reached a point where you need another wake up call.
It's not a situation like Russell Wilson and what was your boy that used to be in Green Bay?
Which guy?
Used to wear number 10. It was Russell Wilson's? I forgot.
Oh, you're talking about Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn. It's not the Matt Flynn Russell Westbrook thing. I mean, not Russell Westbrook, but Russell Wilson thing.
There you go with the names again.
They only gave Matt Flynn $10 million. So they could eat that $10 million and go and say, you know what, we're sending you somewhere else. It's $72 million.
I get that, but I'm just saying, even if it's a wake up, it's a week or it's a quarter or it's something else that tries to rattle his cage and wake him up.
I think if they do, it'd be one of them situations where he starts the game.
That's what I mean.
And they sit him on the bench saying, oh, he got an ankle
that's BS.
Because I don't see them actually benching him without covering for him.
All right. Well, that's kind of the way they do things over there, but that's not unusual either. What do you guys think? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about more Brock Osweiler and the Texans? We'll join in. You want to talk about Tom Herman and the fact that basically he makes the same hand gestures he made when he was in H-Town. You just take out the middle finger because the Cougs got that, and now because it's missing, you can hook them horns. We got that and more, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I want you guys to all go on YouTube right now, put in Eric Carmen, and think his only, probably one of his only hit, basically. And you'll know exactly what I feel.
Flip.
Eric Carmen's song was All By Myself. When I look over and see you in this studio, grossly over-examining the inside of your eyelids, hey. I feel like I'm on I am on Revis Island and I'm all by myself.
Dude, when I tell you, I dozed off during the break and I'm literally listening to our intro coming back in, and I'm like, why does it feel like a dream? And I slept pretty well last night. And that's the crazy part. I don't know, man. I need to go get a physical or something, man. I'm tired. You know what? I didn't have. It's probably because I didn't eat much. I'm trying to lose this weight, man. I changed my diet.
There's so much there, Nick. That.
Well, are you going to question how much he was eating? Is that where you're going to go? Because I figured that was the first jab you were going to take.
I am deeply concerned for my brother in a lot of ways. But we've had this discussion, and he is adamant about the fact that he can go to, like, starvation button, which I worry about, and that he will trim whatever he needs to trim. And I just don't think that's healthy, no. And I don't want him to do that.
It's not real starvation. I just got to change up my diet, change up my plan, and, you know, because I got to lose some weight, man. I got to lose some weight. I got to. I saw
we were talking about this earlier. There was a goal. What was the goal?
I want 40 pounds,
I think?
Yeah, I want to do 50.
Oh, 50. That's
but, here. Like, I saw Jeremy Clary, who played tackle for the Chargers. He lives in Dallas. And I saw Clary. Clary was nice and slim and trim. I'm sitting there like, I got to do better. Like, this is terrible. It's just, man, it's I got to lose some weight, man.
But I said, it's weird because when you see about people that played the game and were big guys, they either go one of two ways. They become marathon runners, and they look like they could be the jockey on the fifth horse at Pimlico.
Yeah.
Or you get guys that just don't have the workout anymore, and the metabolism slows down because you're not at practice every day, and you just. Boof.
But then you got the guys like myself. I didn't blow up. I mean, I've gained my heaviest I ever played at was 330, and right now I'm at 50, but. The lightest I ever played at was 310. So, I mean, either you look at it as saying, oh, you either gained 20 pounds, you gained 40 pounds. That's not a blowing up. You know, that, I mean, at the end of the day, I've always been a big man.
I've seen the pictures. I know that.
I left high school. I was 265 out of high school.
And then because of the beating that you took, I worry about the fact your cardio things that other people can do. But I'm sitting there this morning thinking about maybe Trapp and I can walk and play 9 holes of golf before every day that we do the show, because we can use like a production meeting. But the fact that we're walking and we're exercising, maybe that helps. I don't know because I deeply am concerned.
Sometimes I am too. You know, I was looking at it the other day like. I just don't want to die. You know what
exactly,
I mean? Like, that's
man.
Why, because I, that's it. You know, that's why I say I got to lose the weight.
That's
man.
Why I'm concerned. But look, that's only because I love you and you're my brother. And that's why, and I, you know, and look, we all know that we've started this unbelievably great thing going, and I don't want it to end. I don't want things. So I worry about that. So just.
I don't want no patches on my jersey.
I don't want to come to work one day and Nick and I got to put one on ours. So we'll do it whenever we can. But at the same time, we're talking about the fact that. At least I'm not all by myself, and Travis now back. If we can get an intern to get to Starbucks real quick, that'd be great. But the phone calls keep coming, and before we get to the whole Cougs and Texan University of Texas thing and how the middle finger leaves the Cougs hand gesture, and suddenly you're a member of the Horned Nation, we want to keep talking about the Texans. And Alfred, you were first. You want to get in on here on Brock Osweiler. What's up?
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I want to say, I don't think it's just so much as being Brock Osweiler. It could be the system that he's playing in. You know, he comes from that Gary Kubiak system over there where they doing them little old bitty bootlegs and all them trick gadget plays.
Them ain't trick and gadget plays. Those plays Gary Kubiak was calling was never trick and gadget plays. There's always a method to the madness. Inside, outside zone, play action pass, bootleg, naked bootleg. There's always a method to the madness. It's a true pro style offense.
Yeah, but I don't think this offense fit him, man.
Well, it might.
Can I just say what I've been saying? I've been saying for 2 months. You're the guy. When you're the general manager, you know, just like when you were drafted and you know that they drafted a guy that played a completely different system in college,
You
need to find the right fit. So if you're the general manager and you're analyzing talent and you see this guy, you have to know that this system might not be made. And if no one's going anywhere and that system's going to be in place and they're going to do what they're going to do, then maybe he's not your guy.
Well, here's the thing. Is the only reason, and I hate disagreeing with you this much on the good show.
I'm fine with it.
But here, I disagree with that point at the quarterback because of the fact that he's big and he's athletic. He could, all signs pointed to the first games that he could actually throw the ball when he was in
Denver.
Also, for the most part, it looked like he can throw the ball.
But for six games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those signs pointed to it. But here's what I'm thinking is, as a coach, and you're telling, if I come to you and say, what do you think about Brock Osweiler? You say, oh, I can coach Brock Osweiler. That means you've either seen enough of him or you co-signed enough for him to believe that he can play in your system.
And now you see why I've been saying for how long now these two guys need to have their butts under the microscope. Because if you're analyzing talent and you're telling me this is your guy, and you're telling me you can coach this guy, or you're telling me he's the quarterback whisperer and he's the talent evaluator, and together as a team or whoever, we don't know who actually makes those decisions.
We don't.
But one, if not both, have to be held accountable, because the owner, and I know how these owners are when they spend all this money, even though they've made all this money in their career, they made it by being frugal and not loving it when they lose 72 mil, or in this case, even if they cut ties after 2 years, 30-some mil.
They'll still recoup their money.
I get that, but still, it's not okay.
The insurance policies, they still recoup the money anyway.
He ain't hurt.
No, he don't need to be hurt. So that's another long story, but into the crooked way of the NFL. So, I mean, he'll still get his actually pocket money back. But, I mean, yeah, it's pride. You lose those last couple years, but I don't know, man. I think, yeah, you look at both of them, but I think if Bill O'Brien is saying, if I'm the coach who's supposedly be this guy, if I'm the coach to come in here and whisper to the quarterbacks, if I'm the coach that's – Coop was a quarterback whisperer.
Coop got a lot more out of his guys.
Yeah, he did. But I'm just saying, you bought it. If that's the case, why fire Coop to hire O'Brien in the first place?
Well, I don't think that I disagree with that. But at the same time, just like you pick Brock Osweiler, you pick Bill O'Brien. You got to do your due diligence, and you got to be able to come to the table going and tell the owner with a straight face and plenty of backup, this is our guy because.
But then you look at it as saying, what if the owner said, what do you think about Bill O'Brien? You said, well, I mean, I don't like him. I don't dislike him, but you're the owner. If that's who you want to hire, then let's hire him.
So if there's a book that comes out someday and we find out that's the case, then you understand it. But at the same time, and this goes back to the draft and everything else, I've already stated my case on Rick Smith, and I've stated my case on Bill O'Brien. And my thing is just, when you look at it and you say, okay, whether that's the case or not, because that's a fair point, that the owner sometimes, and look, I've seen it happen, the owner sometimes just says, we're doing it because that's the way I want to do it. But at the same time, if you know that he had his spoon in the soup going, let me get my old guys. Let me get Mallett. Let me get Hoyer.
Let me get my guys. That's why I put it on Bill O'Brien. That's why I don't put it on Rick.
But I can put plenty on Rick, and you know it.
You could, but at the same time.
I did.
I look at it as a head coach, if he's asking for all of his guys, and you're giving it to him, and he's still not successful, I'm not going to be the guy to lay on a sword for you.
Someone's going to have to lay on a sword pretty soon, especially if it keeps going the way it's going. And I told you they were going to lose three in a row, and I think they're going to lose again next week. If that's the case, then all hell could break loose, because this division is not a guarantee, and this playoff that we're talking about is not a guarantee. And something's going to have to change, whether they change the quarterback position or they get a wake-up call or they do what they need to do. Something's got to happen. And guess what? Them boys on Kirby is a certain friend of mine likes to say, is also the same guy that likes to say, I'll holla. It's with great pride I get to say that after this, we get to bring in my man that says, I'll holla, because he's not only listening to the show, he's calling us, and that's when you know you're doing some good things in Houston, Texas. Amen to all that, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So that you people at home and in your cars can feel what I've felt, especially during the commercial breaks. This is exactly what I feel like, especially when Travis is knocking out some Z's and Nick is taking care of some production issues. I'm like, anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Well, now I know I'm not all by myself because I now know that a legend will join us. You have finally done something in this town in terms of talk radio when you get my man Larry and Stafford to join the show. So it was with great pleasure and without further ado that I bring in the man, the myth, the legend, Larry and Stafford. Larry, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Joe? Trap, how y'all doing?
What's going on, Larry?
What's up, Larry? What's up?
You know it's good, man. Hey, man, I'm just trying to recover from that debacle on Kirby yesterday, man. Hey, fellas, I want y'all to bear with me on something, man. Look, we got to quit. We got to quit all this foolishness about, you know, who's at fault over there. See, when you are a team, everybody's at fault as far as I'm concerned. And let me explain what I'm talking about. Bill O'Brien's offense is a joke. And we know it is. Because we've watched it for 3 years. I've watched 48 games, I think it is, that he's coached. I think he's been here 3 years. Let's say 3 times 16. That's 48. Let's go with that number. And in those 48 games, I've never enjoyed one of his games. Because I know we got wins. We got some wins. But every single game, I literally have to make myself just get up out of my seat and walk to my car and say, okay, I'm okay with that win. But it's never something that I felt good about. Because he's never done anything on a consistent basis that made the fans go, you know what, we can sit back and relax while our boys rout somebody by 20 or 30. This clown does something every Sunday to ruin my Sunday, man. So then we can't let Brock off the hook because everybody keeps talking about, well, as Bill O'Brien should fix, dumb down the offense and all that. I don't think Brock Osweiler goes over there on Kirby every day and not know how to play football. I think Brock Osweiler cannot throw a football any accurate than I can. Those passes the pass that he threw on the sideline of DeAndre Hopkins, that was an interception, and the one that he sailed 5 yards over Fedorowicz's head, that was all about accuracy. And so, because he should have threw the ball out of bounds on DeAndre instead of trying to force it, or go ahead and pick up 5 yards on the run. I'm starting to question his football IQ. And I was one of the big proponents because I did not want to find myself back in this position searching for a damn quarterback when we spent $37 million on one.
And Larry, now here's the thing, too, because you fit right into the discussion Trap and I were having a couple segments ago. You're a season ticket holder. You've been thick and thin, and you've been tired of the quarterback rotation and the revolving door. But are you okay with making the playoffs every year and then after a game or so you're done and not making the progress to get towards the Super Bowl?
Joel, I hate it. I hate it with everything in my being because I hate being average, man. I don't never do nothing half-assed, man.
Larry, so you telling me you would rather lose games and not make the playoffs than make the playoffs and just lose in the first and lose in the first round?
Trav, no, I'm not telling you that.
Wait a minute, Larry. Let me take this for 1 second because here's the thing. That might happen for a year or two, but you're getting high draft picks. You're stockpiling everything you need so that doesn't happen over time more than once or twice.
Draft picks are inexact science.
Well, we found that out here, haven't we?
We all know that. They found it out. Every year a team finds it out. There's an inexact science.
Here more than most,
in draft pick.
Go ahead, Larry.
Draft picks is like shooting dice, man. You don't know what's coming up with that.
Exactly. 7-11, backdoor look, Joe. You don't know what you're going to hit.
I get that. But having said that, look, you should never just accept, okay, we want to get to the playoffs. Because if you're not playing that game at that level, making that kind of loot, having that many fans out there supporting you every single Sunday to win a championship, for this city, then you playing the game for the wrong reason. And we know that the Texans have, for 15 years, have just been on this roller coaster where it's never been consistent, where we can finally say we feel like this team has reached a level that it's respected. The Tech Bill O'Brien, them, they said it out of their own mouth. They don't get any respect. But that isn't even the issue. The issue with me, as far as the Texans go and being a longtime, loyal, money-spending fan of theirs, is that I've watched enough football to know what good football looks like. And what the Texans do every single Sunday, that's not good football, crap. And I sat through a 2-14 season, and I thought that was the worst it would ever be. Matter of fact, I sat through it twice, and I thought it was the worst it would ever be. This roller coaster ride that we on with Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler, that roller coaster ride makes me sick to my stomach. And when I was over there yesterday, when I was walking away from that stadium, I was just shaking my head about how many more times are we going to continue to put up with this? Because Bob McNair has already made back his $800 million that he put up for it, fellas.
Well, at least, Larry, at the end of the day, when you walk away from the stadium, at least you got out quickly, because the stadium was only about half full yesterday.
Yeah, but Trapp, here's the thing. To Larry's point, and he is a guy spending his money, but like we were talking about in a break. So we talk about, you know, some of our guys on here talk about their Bills fans, and the Bills went through what they went through. I went through it as a Packer fan growing up, where 20-some years we didn't sniff the playoffs. And you said, was that fun? No, it wasn't fun. But guess what? That's when you start putting it on the administration. Then you better find the right people that aren't doing the right thing so that you are building and you're growing and you're progressing and you're getting better every year. You can't just sit there and wallow and be satisfied with it's not mediocrity, but it's like complacency. You're just settling for 9-7 in a division win and going, hey, we won, we're in, that's cool. I can't accept that.
I don't think they're settling for it. It's just how it falls. There's nobody that goes into the season saying, all right, everybody says that we got to get to the playoffs. We got to win the division. We got to get to the playoffs. And once we get to the playoffs, that's when we start saying, let's do this. If you talk to Bill Belichick.
But they don't do it. That's the problem. It's not that
they're not trying to do it.
But then the people that are put in place to make sure that the people are not only trying, but succeeding, need to make changes.
If it was that easy, the Browns would have had it fixed already. The Rams would have had it fixed already.
That was going to be my point, because there's so many teams that have had great draft picks, and they've continued to fail over and over.
Regardless,
and over.
It's football is not – you're fortunate that there's only a handful of quarterbacks out there. There's a handful of good quarterbacks out there. A handful. We don't have one of them.
Man, I'm seeing guys, even if it's just a game manager, I'm seeing guys out there that could manage the game better and give them a better chance to win.
Well, if that's the case, why hadn't Cleveland gone after they got to get – Cleveland got just as much talent or more than we got.
Oh, I don't go there. No way.
Cleveland got a lot of talent out there.
Cleveland doesn't even come close to the talent the Texans have. No, sir. We can debate that a lot more. Larry, we really appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger, please. Chime in anytime. You're always welcome here in the living room. Travis and Joel with Nick behind the glass. We're here till 4. We're not even 2 hours in. We want more from you. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We are here for you, ESPN 97.5. There's no escape.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
You hear that?
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Some people think people think like we hate each other because we debate.
Me and you cool.
That's what I'm saying.
When people texting in saying we hate each other?
Text, tweet, everybody. They think the same thing with Barry and I when we take the side. It's what radio is.
It's organic.
Yes, that too. Yeah. Welcome to Whole Foods. So we had some good calls already, and Larry joined us. Why don't we keep the party going? Mason wants to talk about Texans in a playoff run. Mason, welcome to the show. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
What up?
I got a comment on the last segment. Joel, you were talking about, you know, you would take the loss and not go to the playoffs for a few years. Man, from a guy that's that's played, I would always, always take the playoff run just because if you get there, anything can happen.
Thank you, Mason.
If you're sitting at home, you're sitting at home watching. So if you're in the playoffs, hey, you know, Brock might have sucked all year long, but that might be his breakout game when everything's on the line. You just don't know. So you always take the
But
playoff,
Mason, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you got to take it in the rear end and rebuild, but I'm saying I want to see progress. If you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're winning, right, you're getting into the playoffs, I don't want to see the same scenario play out multiple years, like 3-4 years in a row. I need to see some progress.
The progress is getting there. It's a process. There's no locker room. And Mason, correct me wrong, because what sport did you play? Did you play football, basketball, baseball?
I played all three.
Okay, well, there's no team, especially at the pro level. There's no team year to year that's the same. Ever.
Right. But the results are. That's my problem.
But that's the thing is just to get there, it's progress, man.
And I'm as competitive as anyone, and you know this. But here's my thing. I got to see some progress or at least an attempt to get better.
Games are progress, man. I don't think people understand how hard it is to win one game in this league. How hard it is to win one game in this league. That's the thing. People don't understand what goes into winning one game.
Mason, you're okay with the fact that they do the same broken record every single year, but they're winning because they got there.
I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm just saying.
Well, that's my point.
My whole point was if you can get there every year, something can happen. Eventually, something's going to happen if you keep getting there every year.
Oh, it happens all right, but it's bad. Everything that happens is bad when they get there. I keep going back to it. Just show me signs that it's getting better. Show me signs that there's progress being made. I hate hearing, well, they won the division because it's the worst division in football. That's great, but that already tarnishes just getting there.
But nobody made that complaint when Seattle had the worst division in football and not only went to the playoffs but won a Super Bowl. And nobody complained when they made the playoffs with a losing record the first time it ever happened in the NFL when they were 7-9, had a playoff and had to have a game off with with St. Louis in order to get there. Like that's my thing is like I will continue to say, no, I'm not just saying, oh, because this is one of my wheezy eyes, whatever. It's very hard to win a game in the NFL.
I get that.
And the fact that you can go out there and have the potential to play in the playoffs, that takes you winning games. Regardless, the AFC South, they are good enough to where a losing record will not get you an AFC South victory.
This year.
Period. Has there ever been the winner of the South, has it ever been with a losing record?
Wasn't it 2 years ago?
It might have been like 7-7.
Who?
The Texans.
Well, yeah. Carolina got in 1 year at 7-9.
I'm talking about the AFC South.
When they hung that banner, what was the final record? Was it 8-8?
Probably.
When?
Just a year or two ago.
You talking about when Bill O'Brien's first year?
When the Texans, a year or two ago, maybe even when they won the division, when it was the worst division in football, and everybody was sucking.
Were they 7-9 that year?
We got to look it up, but I know it was bad.
But it's rare.
Because everybody said, would you even celebrate it by hanging a banner when you were that bad with that record?
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Because you won it. You did what it took to win.
I'm not okay with it. I'm just telling you. We agree to disagree. That's fine.
We're gonna agree. The thing is.
And can we make the argument that there's at least two divisions that the AFC South is better than? Because I think the AFC North is a worse division, for starters, right? The AFC North and I would say the NFC North are two divisions that are worse.
NFC North right now?
Lions, Vikings, Packers. Look at record-wise.
It's a better division than the division you got here.
When all is said, you have a
2-9 Bears, a 4-6.
It's a better division.
Record-wise?
If you look at Minnesota, Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay are better teams. I'll tell you right now, those three teams would be 3 or 4 game leads in the South.
The Packers are 2 games behind 500.
I understand where they are right now. But again, like I say with everything else, we don't judge it now. We judge it at the end of the year. And if you're talking about talent and teams, I feel like that's a better division.
We've been saying the AFC South is the worst division all season long.
For several years.
It's, yeah, and I don't think it is right now.
Okay.
I don't think it is. Look at the record.
Mason, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. Robert in H-Town. We want to talk about this. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
All right, you?
I'm doing good. I just want to make one comment, and I want you guys to just listen, and then you can make a comment. I'm just, you're asking about a guy or a team that wants to perspire, make, you know, win more, do better instead of going to the playoffs. Well, and I hate to say this, but look at the Cowboys, who had the worst record than the Texans last year. Look where they're at now. Look where the Texans are at. I mean, the Texans are doing great, but the problem is they need a quarterback.
Man, yeah, I understand that, but let's be real now. If Tony Romo doesn't get hurt, the Cowboys might only have – I didn't have the Cowboys winning six games this year. They lucked up and got that quarterback. They lucked.
You don't luck up and win 10 games in a row now.
No, but they found a quarterback that is mobile enough that they can also deliver the ball, which nobody – I mean, in college, I liked Dak Prescott a lot in college when he was at Mississippi State. But at the end of the day, they have the number one off. They couldn't win games with the number one offensive line in the league the year before, where they looked busted and disgusted all year long. And that's one of the reasons why they took them. I'm not saying you luck up and win 10 games, but they've had some help. They have a lot of the pieces around them. They're a very talented team. They're way more talented than the Texans.
Well, I tell you what, if something happens, I don't know what's gonna happen to Romo, but if he happens to come to the Texans, that'll be the best thing whatever happened for the Texans. Because they do need a quarterback.
You don't agree with that, Travis?
Nope.
You don't agree that Tony Romo would make this a better team?
It would he'd be a better team, but for how long? How long is that Band-Aid going to last?
First of all,
how long is that Band-Aid going to last before
– Even if it's a year or two?
With our offensive line and the way they played and the way Brock Osweiler got hit in the mouth yesterday by Joey Bosa by himself, how long before Tony Romo breaks his back again?
Right, but if you're looking for, again, this is what I'm saying.
How long?
I think for a year or two, he could be a guy that allows you to see the light of day of going farther than one game into the playoffs.
If we can't protect him, what's the point?
I agree with that. I hear what you're saying.
If he got his back broken behind the greatest offensive line right now in NFL.
You don't think he would have, I guarantee you, if you take the same schedule that they've played to this point and you substitute Tony Romo for Brock Osweiler, you have a 3-game lead in this division.
I mean, you just
can
had,
you argue
you,
that
you just had a 2-game lead the other day.
Can you argue that?
That's not a big statement because
it
just,
is a big statement. Because
you
said
you just had a 2-game lead just last week. You had a 2-game lead, right or wrong?
4 games, then. How about that?
But then you just said it's not. It's
there's
not
a, so many games I can look at the schedule and go, they wouldn't have lost if Romo was their quarterback because he's been so bad. It's not just been here or there. It's been consistently bad. And even with that being said, you're not, with the exception of the Vikings and the games where you're completely getting blown out. There's been a couple games where you could have won had you just managed the game better from the quarterback position.
A couple, but if you
but those couple would have translated into a 4-game lead instead of a 2-game lead.
If it was a fifth, we all be drunk. You know
right,
what
if
saying?
My aunt had outdoor plumbing, she'd be my uncle. I get all that.
But that's the thing is we can't play the if game. And I don't think without Tony Romo, this team's still not any better right now. It might be a game better.
Wow, this is a big
I looked it up.
No, I saw it. 9-7 was the worst they've ever. 2 years in a row, they were 9-7, won the division. I still wouldn't be proud of that. You win a division at 9-7.
You're a winner. No, you're 9-7.
You're not getting better. You're not making any improvements.
But you're 9-7. You're 9-7. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's one game shot of 10 games. There've been some 10-game teams not to make the playoffs.
I know what they are. I know what you're saying, I know that I'm not. I don't accept it. I'm not happy with it.
So, man, listen. Anytime you can get to the playoffs, I'm taking it.
Fine, but make progress from year to year. I understand from a player's perspective, that's your mindset, and I get that. But from a management perspective and an ownership perspective, they're not. I guarantee
from a, from a manager and ownership's perspective, they know how hard and how much work it goes in to win one game.
I guarantee you. I'm just telling you, the majority of the owners out there, they're not cool with just getting there.
Do you not think Haslam over at –
You think Jerry Jones would have been cool with just making it to the playoffs?
Of course.
With
how garbage they've been the last few years, yeah, he wants to win it now because he's getting older than Methuselah.
Right, but once you start stacking up the same thing every year,
then you want to make the next step. But I bet you right now, Chicago wish they would never fire Lovie Smith. I bet you right now, Cleveland would have never fired.
I'll bet you right now, with two hours gone and 1 hour to go, that it hasn't settled down one bit here, and it won't. So how about that? That's why we're ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.